Relay Podcast. You are listening to Tommy Runs, Lindsey Hine, Matt Chittum, and Peter, the one and only Bromka. Thank you. Can you leave this part in? Thank you so much for tuning in. We have a really great conversation for you today. It's always fun to stop in. Hopefully you're on a run or after a run or driving in a car, and we are here to keep you company. Not sure what Matt has in store for us today because he's always so good at this. Matt, you look like you got something on the tip of your tongue that you just want to say that happened this weekend, and I'm wondering what it is.
What I was thinking about was the no, I'm thinking like the Instagram reel was like, this guy's a fake podcaster, he's a comedian. He goes, "Can I blow your mind right now?" And he just says something like completely bonkers. It doesn't make any sense. Like, but
yeah, do
I
it.
I was thinking about the thinking about how powerful the Abbott World Marathon majors are.
In terms of, you like, were actual, just randomly.
And no, just random. Just in terms of like the branding of it, and kind of like in the ultra community, it's similar to like a golden ticket race of like it's like basically this race gets knighted in a certain sense. Whereas like the Abbott World Marathon Majors, I was thinking about it this weekend, like, wait, why isn't the LA Marathon a bigger deal in terms of national acclaim and elite level runners, right? Like it's an enormous marathon. It gets huge community support. Tens of thousands of runners love it, right? They get people go there year after year after year. It has all the hallmarks of like a race that you would expect to be in that tier. And yet it just isn't, right? Mm. The elite runners aren't even like, there's a couple, like handful of elite runners on the men's women's side who are very good. But then after that, it's a huge like 10 to 15 minute drop off from like, you know, in the top 10 of the field, right? Like the 10th pace man, I think was like 225. 10th place woman was like 248, I think. So like 20 minutes off the winner, roughly.
Don't you think they have like a little bit of a, like a, there's an underdog like chip on its shoulder. People are always, they don't just post like LA Marathon was wonderful. They're like, no one knows about the LA Marathon. And you're like, I would like to know more. I'm like very interested in like local culture and running.
This is what I was thinking about, was that like, why isn't it? I think it's because it's not an Abbott World Marathon
major. It's not a major, yeah.
Right? So it automatically gets put into this other category. Again, it's also a more challenging marathon. Again, it's not like, it's not crazy. It has 1,000 feet of elevation gain, which, you know, there's plenty of marathons that are like that. There's Rhode Island ones that are like that too. But it's not like a speedster course. Right?
I mean,
it's not like...
But I mean, come on. Like, not a speedster course. In an era where people are willing to drive to the tops of mountains and run off of mountains to get a PR, like, it is a hard, it's a legitimately hard course, and it looks like the later miles like punch you in the face. So I think I have a lot of respect for my friends. I know people from like New York who flew out, and I was following them all weekend on Instagram, and I'm like, man, looks like a wonderful time. But they definitely signed up for a tough go of it. I know a lot of, I'd say like people who are just chasing fast times are like, oh no, like not going to hit LA, but going to get out there and cheer, or, you know, I'm going to do it. Part of it is a jump in with a friend because I'm building up to some other race that. So I think it is your point. It's like a problem of a lot of people chasing times and thinking like some big time will unlock, you know, a life experience, versus it seems like a place we should all be at. Like I was surprised like we didn't have anyone from Relay being like, oh yeah, I'm definitely going to be there for XYZ.
Nail on the head.
I was saying they need like a branding expert to come in, right? Because they have all the ingredients for a great race, all of them. They got a great weather weekend, they have enormous crowd support, they have a city that's easy to travel to, you know, you a lot of one-way flights to LA, international field, and yet it's just missing something, right? So I don't know if like they really have to kind of lean into like the difficulty of the course, right? Kind of like how you'll have like the idea behind the reason Leadville became so iconic was because they leaned into how hard it was, right? So I don't know if like, again, not that like this is a, you know, again, it's a punishing marathon course for sure, but it's not like the world's hardest marathon, but it's kind of like the world's hardest popular marathon. I don't know. I'm not the branding expert they need, but they need someone to come in and kind of like get them into like this little like why we're awesome box, because they have so many great things going on. And you just like watching Instagram this weekend, and I knew people who ran this race as well. Jess Mena, a friend of the podcast, was one of them, ran incredibly well. And like it's obviously a great time, but it just doesn't have the acclaim that some of these other races have.
Yeah, like there was one point in the race where like I saw a video and the crowd like literally closed into the street. Like it was like, it looked like a single track trail race with for people. And I'm like, oh man, Boston could never, you know.
They're like, you're all welcome. As long as you cheer like we've always cheered for 120 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Read the golf clap manual, guys.
Yeah. It goes unstated, but we will state it if you make us.
You know, like, so, I mean, honestly, like, I hear what you're saying, though, because, like, at first I didn't hear what you're saying, Matt. I'll be honest. I'm like, yo, Matt, what are you talking about? But now I can help you.
This is
like,
that's literally the state of my marriage, Tommy. It's literally everything that I say is like, what? What is this? Yeah, and then I'm used to it.
And then later it's like her idea. Later, like, oh, I got this idea, and then you're like,
no, it's like, we're not talking anymore. We're just not talking anymore.
Yeah. So here's so what LA needs to do is call waste management.
Yes, totally.
Well, you're really leaning into this golf stuff.
See where I'm going though? So because so like the majors are a big thing. Like there's four majors in golf, right? But other golf tournaments have done a really great job of like branding their own thing separately to a point where it's really like where people want to go to, even if it's not, you know, the Masters or whatever, right? So like waste management has done a really great job. Obviously, like the drinking gets is a little too crazy, I guess, that they had to like change up a couple of things. But the point is like their branding of that event did so well that it probably has more attendance than or almost as much attendance as the other, you know, some of the other golf tournaments. So if you can figure out like that thing that you that makes people want to come check off this box as a part of their like marathon journeys, you know, there's something there. I feel like, cause I feel like I've thought about it, but not really, you know, and maybe like other races, like Grandma's does a really great job for some reason of like people spreading that story more. So like, you kind of want to check that off. Like, yeah, you got to run Grandma's, right? You know what I mean? Like no one says, oh, you got to run LA, right?
It is weird because New York isn't fast, but I guess it is a major, but it's just New York and you're already pulling from such a big population. So
it has the legacy, it has the tradition, and it's a major. So it has like those two things.
I think LA is on the rise in terms of, I would guess it's gotten bigger and bigger over the handful of years.
What's the other marathon that's not a major that it's like, you know, people have to check it off?
Well, I mean,
like
people go to Houston because it's fast and it's the only one in this January. You know, like that's where the time thing really, you're like, oh yeah, they go there. I mean, Valencia looks amazing, but it's also the fastest race in the world. So I would hope to go to Valencia just because, but yeah, like I have a personal desire to run things like Rome and Paris, but people don't totally talk about those because they're not majors and they're not particularly quick. They're like, they're similar. They're like, people run fast, but sounds like it's just less of a focus.
Yeah.
Anyways, but LA I just love that you say like LA needs a branding expert because they're like the coolest kids. It'd be like walking up to the coolest kid in class and you're like, hey, give you some feedback on like how to, I think you could really shine. And like the kid's just like,
More people would like know you if you're like, dude, I'm class president and prom king. What are you talking about? You know,
have you thought about like, naming yourself after a medical device? Because that would really.
I feel like Eugene is unique. Eugene Marathon is unique because they have the marathon itself doesn't have like a history for real, but they're like leaning on the history of the city, of the location. And they do a really great job like telling that story and making people almost, they're almost telling you this is a race that you should be at because of the history of the city. You have to do this. And people are starting to believe it, I think.
Yeah. Well, you're pitching it. Although Tommy, guys, this is awkward. We're in a team meeting. Tommy left me on red. I'm like, are you coming out? Are you going to be here in the end of April? Oh. No reply.
That's not true, Peter. Don't slander on the thing.
It's gonna be a fun. I think Eugene is another one that's building. It's way harder to get to. It's but it's a great event and it's rising in popularity. They've done great marketing over the last couple of years, so that's good too.
I think the other ones that are like kind of in the same category would be Philly for similar reasons, right? Tough course.
Oh, Indy.
Right, but Philly's has more people than LA. Right, I was just looking up. I was just Googling while we're doing this. The most popular marathons. Philly is at number 8. LA is at number 7, and then what number 4 is Marine Corps, which are kind of like the big ones.
Oh, that yeah.
Not in the World Marathon major setup, but also in major cities. Mm-hmm. But Marine Corps is different. Obviously, they do a great job from the marketing perspective. It has its niche. Philly and LA, I feel like, definitely kind of get lost in the shuffle. The other big one here is Disney, which is a complete different, completely different situation.
Thank you.
But Philly and LA, I think, are like, they need to come together, create the little like doubleheader.
Mm.
Yeah.
That could like actually be ends. A thing. Like, yeah. Like, I feel like races could do that too. Like, is make their own like little thing. You know, make their own
little circuit. Circuits.
Like, you gotta hit these four. It's called like the blah blah blah. You know what I mean? Like, I did the Japan double. That should be a thing. I mean, it would be kind of cool.
Oh, you went to Japan and only ran one marathon? I'm sorry, that's kind of awkward. Like,
you really missed out.
You're gonna have to go.
I mean, because. Because apparently they have there's 4 weekends in a row that have a marathon.
Yeah.
I don't
Japanese
know the one that's
culture
right
is
yeah
incredible.
Yeah.
No, it would be cool if they had it like this would be so random and there's no way this would ever work. But it's like a nod to Icky Woods. We'll call it like the Super Bowl Shuffle, where you do like a marathon in each city that's in the Super Bowl.
Oh. You're so really good at this.
Wait, like, do it. Say it again.
For anyone
it again?
Listening to this podcast, Matt always sends us these like, what if we all came up with our own like, and he just like comes up with the most creative off the wall ideas about what racing could be. And he's like, no, you guys go. Like, what are your ideas? And we're like, you go again.
So say the idea again. Say it again.
It's called the Super Bowl Shuffle, where you go, you run a marathon in the two cities that were in the Super Bowl that year. Because the Super Bowl is beginning of the year, you have the whole calendar year to do it.
Oh.
Right? So Kansas City. Who do the Chiefs play? The Chiefs play the 49ers?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So there would be something in the Bay Area and something in Kansas City.
That would be a fun thing. That's not bad at all, man. That's a good idea.
So I was trying to think, what kind of doubleheader could you do with LA and Philly, but that you couldn't do it for that reason because they're both in the NFC?
I feel like things we buy are all relative to like what you budget for and what you can make an excuse for. So it's like pushing it out, like, you know, like, oh yeah, I mean, we all just budget enough to like fly a couple different cities and let me know where it is. I'll be there. You know, it's like the world, Lindsay's asked, you know, about the World Marathon Major and Marcus, you know, shrewdly has been like, I mean, it's wonderful. Like anything that is expensive and like,
well, you could really rebrand it. Because ABBA is the World Marathon Majors, right? So you could do a subcategory of the American Marathon Majors.
Yeah.
Right.
You just keep saying Abbott, like no free clout, but I guess free clout to those guys. Have I said on the podcast how when I was in Orlando, I ran into someone who works for TCS and I was just like, what's the deal with you guys? Like, why going hard in the run space as a technology brand? Why? Like, am I supposed to come out with positive brand impressions for a consulting service? And then it turns out that just like the leadership of that company got super obsessed with marathoning and they're just like, running makes your life better and we want to promote the holistic nature of it. Yeah, I'm like, hey, that's great. I'm still not in the position to go purchase your product, but think more highly of your love of the thing that I love. We have a shared affection.
And it's funny that people will say that name 100 times and never even think what it is.
No idea.
No, like Ineos, like Ineos 159. I don't know what Ineos is. You know,
They don't want you to know. Ineos Dirty Air 159.
And then they pick the area that had the cleanest air.
Yeah, and they're like, where could we go? Well, let's just know where. Let's not go anywhere where we're popular.
Nowhere near where we are.
I like how Kara and Dez always kind of chuckle when they say TCS. They're like, thanks, but TCS. I mean, I'll tell Adam to pick up a TCS at the grocery store. Like, what?
What is TCS? Like, is it insurance? I don't even know what it is.
No, I think it's
like a large technology consulting firm.
Oh, technology consulting firm.
I listened to their podcast for the first time on my run today.
Oh, which one?
The Dez and Kara podcast.
Oh, Dez and Kara.
First time.
First time.
What made you come around?
I think I just wanted to see what it was all about because everybody always talks about it.
It's and good. You liked it, right? Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah. I mean, I love them both, so I knew it would be good. It was just a matter of like making time to choose that podcast because I don't listen to running podcasts because I'm so inundated with running in my life. You know what I mean? I think I'm doing something with
Des. Did you lean into the nun in there? Was that a nun?
Like everybody leans in.
Inundated.
Inundated.
Do you think there's a nun in the middle? Is it a religious thing?
I am known for making up words and like putting words in wrong places. So, you know.
I mean, we're all welcome to use the syllables however we want.
Syllables.
My friends have been making me fun of this. My friends have been making fun of me for this since like sixth grade. So, but yeah, it was good. Yeah, I liked it. I did switch to music halfway through just because, you know, you get to the point in your rhyme where you get through the podcast part and you're like, okay, I'm ready to have some more energy here.
Yeah. Well, that's why Relay is great because we mock each other and keeps the energy high.
Yes.
And I guess we can announce it. Kara's no longer part of Relay. She has her own podcast. That's number one on the charts with her and Des.
I was thinking about that. She's killing it. When I was listening, because they were recapping some indoor races, and I was like, this is kind of what we do on Relay, too, sort of, kind of. So
I know. It's been too long. I was just saying we need to get her back for a catch-up.
We should just have her on to catch up. Yeah. Yeah. She could be on Chat with a Pro with Laura. Ooh, and I.
Guys, I don't know if she listens to every week. We should just make up a bunch of sketches and be like, oh, since you have no longer been on the team, you know, this one's been really popular. Okay. you know, which dog food would you eat if you had to eat a dog food? You know, and she.
Which one would you guys eat, though?
I don't know. Like, Purina is the only one I know.
Would you go dry or would you go?
Yeah. You got to go dry.
No, I would not go dry.
Really?
No, I think I'd get a scoop. I mean, how much? A whole bowl, or are we just talking about like one like bite?
Something significant, like a spoonful.
It would have to be like.
I'm sick just thinking about it.
Oh no! I mean, you should see like what is it? Search Engine by PJ Vogt. He's an amazing podcaster, and he seems to love his dog, and so he does ads for this like the most premium.
He eats it, doesn't he?
Like, I don't think he eats it, but I think you certainly could eat it because you're like this stuff is a gajillion dollars a scoop.
My aunt and my neighbor, they just make their dog food.
What do you mean?
The chickens eat?
The chickens eat like chicken food. My chickens.
What's chicken? What's chicken food?
I don't know. It's just like chicken feed. I don't even know what's in it, honestly. It's like grains. But well, I don't know. They make like meat. It's like, I don't know how they make it, but they like put it in the crock pot.
Make up fun sketches that would catch Kara and be like, oh no, every guest has done this. Did you not hear?
Did you not hear about this?
Emma Bates did this last week.
Yeah,
we could just roast her.
I think it would be cool if we got both of them on at the same time. That'd be crazy.
Well, let's do it. Make it happen. Make it happen, all right. Tommy.
All right. Yeah, I'll text him.
Speaking of track stuff, there were some track events this weekend. The 10.
Oh man.
LA was the home of some elite running this weekend, right? We had the 10 and we had the LA Marathon. The 10 was, that was incredible.
Did you know those races were amazing? Also, high school Adidas track and field nationals. Did you know that?
Nope.
Look at you.
Did you?
Where were you tapped into the high school scene?
Okay.
I didn't see it because I was inundated this weekend with other things.
I was in Virginia Beach for the Shamrock Marathon working, and I went to this really yummy restaurant called, I think it was Pacific on Atlantic, and I just went and sat at the bar by myself. It was the night before the race and I didn't have any plans, and I sat next to two gentlemen, and one of the guys, he sits down and he orders 25 fried oysters.
Whoa.
25. And then like a burger and fries, like a lot of food. And I could tell he was like probably like a field athlete, right? And so anyway, we got to talking and
that was the best euphemism I've ever heard in my life.
Because he told me that he was here for the track nationals. And then he was like a big guy.
Okay.
And I was like, what do you coach? And he coaches shot put. So anyway, yeah, I learned that I didn't even know that was happening. Apparently there are three different track nationals in indoor nationals in high school, and this was the Adidas one.
Yeah.
Peter, you probably know of it. But I was just like, 25 fried oysters.
I believe because oysters aren't going to fill you up. You basically eat oysters until you get full or you run out of money. Until you get bored.
He was eating them all. It was happy hour sale, so it was like it was $1 an oyster.
You gotta, that's good. You gotta take if it's happy. You gotta take advantage of those deals, even if you gotta pay for it the next day. I guarantee he's not feeling it.
I was just thinking about how sick my stomach hurt for him. Like I was thinking about how sick I would feel if I ate all that.
It's possible it's too much of a good thing. Like that's a thing. I mean, seafood. I think seafood's wonderful, but like
it's a little about moderation.
Oysters also an aphrodisiac. That guy might have been feeling good.
I don't think fried oysters. No, I don't think fried oysters are. You're just popping in crispy bites. You know, like
it cancels
I think the aphrodisiac part comes with the process of the other one.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
It stays in the fry.
Yeah, you kind of kill some of the mood.
The aphrodisiac stays in the oil.
Okay. Well, anyway, my new friend.
The cook back there might be a little turned up, but who knows? You know.
My new friend, his name is Russell, which I was excited about because that's one of my kids' names. And his kid won.
Wow.
National champ.
It was a champion. Or
quasi champ from many different indoor things.
So his so today his kid is really happy. He's in the bathroom.
Yes.
He went too big. That's awesome.
He's mad though because his kid got a full ride to, and he's going to VCU, and he had him looking at all these other like smaller, or like sorry, bigger schools, like Mississippi, and the kid wanted to stay close to home, and he was just mad because he thought he could develop more at a bigger.
We're getting
school.
Dangerously close to identifying this man.
Have you followed?
yeah, no.
College sports, shocker. You guys are not going to believe to hear this, like. College sports has gotten blown up in the last year and a half, 2 years.
No, it hasn't.
I mean, it's totally changing. If you routinely, people just like go for one season because of the lack of need to hold out between transfers. They're just like, kids will go to 3 to 4 schools in their 4 to 5 years. So maybe he'll get started somewhere and then hop around. I mean, it's good for the kids, fine, but it's also like...
It's no different than it's always been, except in two sports. In every sport, in every division, there was never transfer rules. It was only in basketball and football there were transfer rules. In Division One, I should say.
You had to hold out as a track athlete, staying in the same division.
No, this is why they lose every court case, because there's only rules for those two sports at that level.
Well, the kids are transferring in the transfer portal like crazy these days. So good for them, competitive nature. But yeah, it's just to say this kid could start somewhere and go somewhere else if he's on the rise.
Well, I'm happy for him, whoever
he is. Thanks, Matt. Guys,
that's the sport I actually care about. That's where all my knowledge is. It's not in running. It's in the college. I'm just kidding.
This is a big week for you, Matt.
You guys, NC State beat UNC this weekend. That was a big deal. This is me. I live in Raleigh.
I know that was a big deal. It's a huge deal.
You just got there a year ago. You really got up to speed fast.
3 years. I've almost been here 3years.
Don't play.
Peter lost his COVID mind.
I'm in a divided neighborhood. You know, half of my neighbors went to UNC, half of them went to NC State. But
I thought you were gonna say something different.
the state people are very happy.
Yeah, I could get behind that.
I actually am in a divided neighborhood, and that way half of the houses are like normal people that have normal houses like me, and then half the houses are like people that are just super rich. Like they keep building these like massive houses. I don't know who these people are or what they do. There's the normals and then there's those people. I'm a normal.
Yeah, you seem normal. Okay.
Sure.
Good.
Sure.
There's the chicken owning people.
There's the chicken people.
And then there's the
chicken. You really leaned into it. You really leaned into it too. Like, you know what? Let's play this up. Let's get some chickens, you know?
I said to my neighbor,
have them run around outside the front yard.
I said to my neighbor across the street, I was like, I can't believe we got chickens. She was like, really? You can't believe you got chickens? Because I can.
I love it. Your neighbors know you better than you know yourself. I love it.
I actually, the funny part was, I went to a race this weekend. It's the Rock CF half marathon. It's a decent race for like a tune up type of vibe for like if you're running any like April race. A
lot of great half marathons this weekend.
Yeah, a lot of good ones. I think a dude ran like 107 for the win. I was doing like my run around, like, you know, you got to do some miles, you know, Peter, you know, you wear Alpha Fly 77s
just get to out. Like get spectate. Going.
But like I had to do some miles, so I was running around, and then I heard like a chicken do like the crow thingy, or those that rooster.
A rooster, that's a rooster.
Yeah. What's I don't even know the difference.
You don't have I don't have roosters.
Okay, I don't know the difference. But yeah, so that I thought about, you know, if I knew that you had chickens before this moment, I would have thought about you, but I didn't. But I was like, that's crazy. Just to
now
have
you're
like random
think about me when you see chickens.
Yeah. Yeah. So every time I pass Chick-fil-A, I will think of you, you know?
Roosters are males, Tommy, and hens are you have
Oh, like so bulls hens. And cows? Is that the same type of vibe?
Mm. You don't want a rooster because if you live in like a residential neighborhood, you can't have a rooster. Your neighbor
yeah, has some there's some very close to my house.
Area.
It was very close to my house, and you know it.
It roostered right.
No,
right then.
That's so wrong. Like that is so mean to your neighbors. Our neighbors in Indy got a rooster, and then we had an Airbnb in the back of our house, like in our carriage house, mm-hmm. and this rooster would be like making rooster noises at like 5 a.m. And my neighbor was like, "Is that okay?" And I was like, "No, it's really not." Like, I have people renting this place out that your rooster cannot be crowing at 5 a.m. And plus, I don't want to hear your rooster at 5 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, or just wake up. Like, that's like God put gave that bird that ability to be a natural alarm clock. Wake your ass up. You know,
you should list it as one of the advantages of your Airbnb. Like, you'll get after the day.
You know what? You know what? I have a quick story. We were walking towards this race, and it's like from one parking lot to the high school parking lot to the middle school parking lot. It was like a trail that like kind of weaves through like tennis courts, open like playground field, a baseball field, and then a big field. Like it was just like this little weaving little area. We saw these three deer, must have got spooked, right? And we're like running as fast as you've ever seen an animal run in person, because I've never seen a cheetah. So like these deer were full running, like full sprint, scared of something. And there's people kind of like not all around, but we're all on the sidewalk, and it was running towards where the sidewalk was. So it's like we like yelled, "Oh, watch out!" You know, because like we want to make sure people saw the deer coming, so you don't want to get like cleared by a deer going 30 miles an hour or whatever it was doing. And everybody froze, and the lead deer, it was like three in a row, the lead deer slammed straight into the chain link fence. As like, I mean, and it was so loud because like this deer was going as fast as you as probably it could go. And then the other one ran into it too, but kind of like less because it was like warned by the slam. Third one missed the fence completely, and the deer died. Right there.
I was worried you were going to say that.
Yeah. So like everybody stood there for a while like, what is happening? Because like the deer was kind of moving a bit. We thought that it was like maybe just like, you know, dazed or knocked out for a second. But turns out poor gal died.
Poor Bambi.
Aww. Yeah. And it was terrible.
Peter, this is so sad. I got to go. You
but
killed
like,
me.
Oh no.
I'm dead now. The rest of my day, I'm going to be sad.
But then that was like what people, I didn't have to run the half yesterday, but that's what like all, a bunch
Wait,
of different
happened
people
yesterday?
Like yesterday, right 10 minutes before the race. So like whoever was on that path walking towards the race saw this happen like in person.
Oh.
Never seen anything like it.
I'm so sad about that deer.
Yeah. Me too.
Did you have a ceremony or like did you have
a lady while it was still kind of moving around a bit, a lady walked over and was like petting its head.
Oh.
Like she squatted down like was petting its head like, you know, in the last little bit.
Oh. Well, we've lost a chicken. Did you guys know?
Already?
That? When they're really little, we bought them as chicks like days old. They're just really prone to like their immune systems just aren't great, and I think it's fairly common to lose a baby chick.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Russell walked downstairs and goes, Daisy's still sleeping. And Glenn's like, that chicken is dead. So I was out of town and Glenn's like on work calls, burying a dead chicken in the backyard, like trying to get everybody ready for school. That's why I said before we got on the call that he's the real hero here in this situation.
Good job.
How did the kids handle it? My son was very distraught when his fish died. Fish died, and we had the little goldfish tank. It wasn't a goldfish, but it was a betta fish, whatever. And the tank was in his room, and we would like hear him. Like he'd go to sleep, he would talk to his fish. It was very cute.
Aww.
And then the fish didn't last very long. He was very, very distraught.
I think since we lost our dog last year, that was like such a big deal that this is not as big of a deal. Especially since we only had the chicken for like a week. But yeah, I forgot about that. Well, and the other thing is chickens don't live that long anyway. And then once you get them outside in their coop and stuff, when you do let them out in free range, like a hawk might get one of your chickens. Like that's just like, you don't leave them out to free range all the time, but like every once in a while you let them free range and like a hawk could just swoop down and grab them. Like I kind of just have to prepare my heart for that,
Yeah. Yeah.
More business trips are in your future, Lindsay. You just got to like,
Glenn's like, just be gone. These chickens are not dogs. Like you can't think of them like that. But it is weird because when you get them as chicks, they feel more like your pet than if you just like got a random adult chicken, you know?
Yeah, yeah, because you raised it.
Came in, they were so little. They're so cute.
Yeah. I just want to give a quick shout out to a couple of my friends. So I had the deer started the day. But a few of my friends ran like tune ups for Boston and I think the Martian Marathon.
Big tune up weekend.
Marathon. Yeah, big tune up
weekend.
Shout out to all the people that ran their tune ups this weekend. Gary ran, Earn ran, Joe and Aaron. Joe and Aaron ran.
Richard
DC,
Dizon, big fan of the pod. He ran.
It's like so many people did that. And I love it when people like execute their like their tune up races with no ego involved, you know, and just like run their first 10, 11 miles kind of normal and then maybe see what they can do at the end. Cause it's just like such an important part of the process. Like it's a great way to take advantage of like a crowd and like practicing like the race day jitter thing and, you know, checking off the list, eating what you're supposed to the night before, morning of, all that stuff. So I love like when you can get out there and like have a good tune up day.
Another listener of the pod, Casey Hall, our photographer Justin at the Relay event in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Casey ran 1:49 half at Shamrock, and that was it was like a 3 minute PR for her. So that was a big deal. Shout out to Casey.
That seems like a big race. I had a ton of people I follow online that were running
really
that race.
It's really fun. I mean, I think the only downfall I would say is that it could be pretty windy. Because it's on the beach. I mean, you're not running like on the beach the whole time.
Everything's windy these days.
Everything's
like,
windy though. Right, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It's a really good race. It's very well put on and it's really fun. There's an 8K the day before. I raced the 8K, you guys. I ran a race. I don't do that. You know what I mean? Like I'm not.
How'd you do? Oh, do you have a green microphone because of the holiday?
Oh, no, I think this is just like a clean cover that I found somewhere.
Okay.
I think
you should have just said yeah.
Yeah, that's why. Well, so I ate like half of an egg and cheese croissant right before because I was in this like tent area that had really good food and I was looking for a banana or something and they didn't have that. And I was like, I feel nauseous. I'm so hungry. I have to eat something. So needless to say,
this
that
is exactly how I approach eating. I half-heartedly look for a piece of fruit and then dive into like an egg and cheese sandwich.
I came in here for fruit, but I ended up eating a steak and potatoes.
Wow, this
and
salad
a muffin.
Looks a lot like a roast beef sandwich. That's interesting.
I was like, I'm going to throw up if I don't eat. You know when you get so hungry, you get nauseous?
I've never.
No,
I've never had that one.
Oh, really?
I get like a headache.
It's a morning thing. It's usually like my first meal of the day if I haven't eaten it and I'd been up for a while, I start getting nauseous. So anyway, I started that race. And I was like, I'll run kind of fast. Like, I'll just see what I can do. And then I got like a half mile in and I was like, whoa, this croissant is really sitting heavy. And so I told myself to slow down because I was like, who cares? And then I was like, no, just keep trying to run fast. So I did run kind of fast for me. I think my pace was like 7:14 for five miles.
That's great.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey, girl. My watch was off though. So like I was like my GPS said I was like a half mile further down than I was. So like it would say like 6:06 and I was like definitely did not just run a 6:06 mile.
Yeah.
But I
that's gonna be like a blessing in disguise. And you can really just completely disregard your watch and do your thing.
I had to. I had no idea what I was running. I could have finished and they could have told me it was 7:40 pace or 7:05. I wouldn't have known. But I couldn't see the mile markers and I didn't see them until mile 4. And then I was like, are you kidding me? I have a whole nother mile to go. And then at the end, there was this girl that I kept kind of coming up on her and she had this like really wide arm swing and she didn't look like she was running very fast. And I was like, why am I behind her? And so I kept kind of coming up on her and then she trot on by. And so then with like, maybe 400 meters to go, I was like, she's probably in your age group and you could probably place in your age group if you go. And so I just took off and I beat her and I got third in my age group.
I love it. Look at you.
Look
at this is not a competitive race though at all. Just
it doesn't matter. It was for you.
That's
it turned into it for me. That last mile, I was like, I'm
this lady didn't know that she was in a race. I feel bad for this lady. She was just enjoying her time and all of a sudden she was
Lindsay
in a death match.
Yeah. I knew I could pass her if I wanted to. It was just a matter of like, do you want to? Like, do you want to feel like you're gonna throw up at the finish line? And I didn't know how much I passed her by, but I just saw my finish line photos and I put a hefty gap on. Maybe she's a listener.
Well, maybe not anymore. You ruined that for us. She's like, I was trying to help this lady. She was breathing all hard, so I like stuck back with her, and then she dropped me at the end. What an ass, you know?
You know what, though? It was fun to compete. It was fun. It was fun to run hard.
The New York City half was this weekend as well. There was like a half marathon like in every major city.
Yeah, New York City half. I did New York City half last year. The Rock CF marathon, I heard like I think it was 200 so elevation gain. And so Gary's doing Boston, so that kind of works out for him. But the New York City half I did last year, and it's a really nice tune up for a Boston race because
you got a big hill in there too, right?
Yeah. So
did I have not followed the results of that race as much as I would have liked to because I was doing so much driving yesterday and then I got home and I had 3 soccer games. So it was like boom, 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 boom. But I just saw Sidious post that Jenny Simpson did well. What does that mean? What did she do?
I think she ran 109. 109 okay. or 112.
And what place was she? 109 or 112? That's a big difference.
Yeah, I don't know why I have both of those in my head.
And then Dez, I saw somebody posting videos of Dez. Was she the second American? That's what I thought I saw.
Let's just look it up.
Of the New York City half.
Let's just look
really
it up.
Know
Hold
our
on
stuff.
A second.
Shout out to the queen of New York, Erica Stanley Dotton, who I think she dropped to 125.
Is that a PR? No, she's running 121, hasn't she?
No. Yeah, she. I think she was more like a rust busta for her. Because I ran with her for the most. I was going to run with her. So she was last year. She was talking. She's definitely like a trash talker, you know. So she was like talking junk to me for 2 days leading up to this race. We're like at the shakeout run for the Tracksmith, and I'm just like, no, it's just a tune-up race. I'm just doing my marathon pace, and she's just like, all right, well, I mean, I'm just gonna beat you, you know, whatever. Like, she was talking all this stuff, but yeah, like I ended up dusting her that day. And I'm happy. I'm proud of that moment. I got dusted Erica. Everyone in New York knows her. Apparently, everyone.
Well, she's amazing.
I mean, like,
surprised me.
The mayor of New York could run that half or walk the half and not hear as many like Erica. I'm like, yo, I gotta get away from her, you know, because like it's hurting. Like, not only I'm trying not to get beat, but then also, you know, like my ego is just taking a hit every Erica, you know.
Yeah. So all right. So now I know why I mixed it up.
Oh,
Lindsay. So the winner ran 109.
69. Yeah. Okay.
Ran 109. All right, and then Jenny Simpson was top American, and she ran it in 112.
Oh, Jenny Simpson was the top American.
Yes, she was. So she ran 112. Then Callie Thackeray finished right behind her, and then Des Linden finished shortly thereafter.
Wow. See,
Jenny finished right around Diane Van Ness, and the woman who won Caroline Gravdahl ran 109.09.
Speaking of Erica getting yelled at, the whole, like, you were like, I got to get away from her. At this race I ran, there was a woman behind me. She must have been listening to the Hamilton soundtrack, and she was singing so loud, and she'd go, wait for it. And she'd like, she was like rapping lyrics, and I was like, what is this woman doing? And she was so loud. I thought at first she was like cheering on a group that was running with her. And then I meant to turn around and look at her at the finish line and be like, who is this person that like was singing the entire race? And I forgot to. That was very distracting though. Can you imagine?
I mean, that's like the definition of a fun run. Also, I mean, like, it's really...
But we weren't running that slow. Like, we were running pretty fast.
That's what, like, I mean. Like, she obviously was, like, pretty fit. If, like, she could belt out a whole soundtrack, like, mid-race. It was, I can't even do that, like, on an easy run. Like, I can whisper.
Too.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, like, every like, 30 seconds, she'd just, like, yell a couple words. And, like, you could kind of tell she was working hard, though, because, like, her breath was labored. But it was loud. She was, like, yelling it. Very odd.
Wow. I'll tell you. I mean, kudos to her, because obviously she's in the, like, I don't care mode, right? Like, I am doing me.
For sure.
Y'all can, like, you know, think whatever you want, whatever. Like, I'm here to do me.
Yeah. And she was having fun.
Right. Which I can get behind, because I'm usually on the other end of the spectrum. Like,
yeah,
I'm pretty self-conscious and on basically all things, but especially in that setting.
It did kind of encourage me, like, should I try to speed up and move away from it? I couldn't, though. We were, like, the exact same pace.
Well, I'll tell you, I was in that situation. My good friend, Maurice Lohman, who's been on my podcast a bunch, Marathon Panda. So he races all the time. He just loves to be in races. So so not every race he does, he goes all out. So he'll, like, he's there almost like an unofficial cheerleader, like, in the race. He's pumping up everybody. He's talking nonstop. Fun. But, like, his chill racing, cheerleader pace, is my race pace.
Yes.
So, like, I'm near him the whole time. And I love this man to death. But it's, like, a little, it can get, like, you can get self-conscious about it. You're like, how is he so spry and I'm dying on my feet? Like, I'm just, like, you get in that moment of, like, how does this person feel so good? I definitely do not feel this good.
Yeah. I mean, this is, like, this was always my, like, just went back in the day when I would run harder. What do I have Glenn pace me or not? Because knowing that the pace I'm running, he feels so comfortable at that he can just like chat me up and cheer me on. It's a little bit irritating because you're like, but this is really freaking hard, you know?
Right. I think in that situation, how I've approached it when I've led people out, so I was for them that person, right? I'm faster than they are, or more fit than they are.
Yeah.
I try to treat it. And I don't even know if this is right or not. This is how I've approached it. Like, I'll treat it as if we're running at the same effort in terms of, like, how much I talk.
Yeah.
Right? So I'll keep it as if, like, I can only talk, like, a sentence at a time.
Yes.
Even though that's not the case, just so, like, we're on the same wavelength.
Person who is not able to run as fast as you. Yes. I get that.
Yeah, I don't just start, like, I don't turn into, like, an audiobook. Like, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, right? And just start, like, monologuing.
This is the difference too, because it's with like us normals and like the pros is that, like, you know, like when Ben Bruce is pacing the pro women, like they're going fast enough that like he's still working pretty darn hard. Whereas like if I'm pacing someone, say for like a 4-hour marathon or a 4:30 marathon or whatever it is, I'm not working at that effort. Do you know what I mean?
Especially for him now, because like the top end of the women's field is getting faster and he's getting slower.
Right.
So they're really converging on like his race pace is their race pace now.
Talk about a way to keep in shape. My gosh. We got to wrap because I got to go get my kids.
All right.
Wrap it up, Matt. How do you wrap this up?
Sounds good. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Later this week, we're going to have Talk with a Pro. We'll be back with Laura and Lindsay and a special guest. Should we tease who the guest is?
Lindsay Flanagan.
Oh, what a good guest. That's going to be great. And I'm then excited. Next week for our second episode, again, group chat always comes out beginning of the week, end of the week, Peter Bromka and I will be doing a Coach's Corner with Stephanie Flippin, talking about further and how she helped one of those Lululemon athletes go from, can I ever run a 5K, to all of a sudden doing a 6-day Ultra a year later. So I can't wait to have that conversation. We'll be recording that later this week, and then we'll be putting it out next week.
And listen, everybody, if you are enjoying this podcast, please leave us a rating and review. Like, take a pause on your run or whatever you're doing and leave us a little rating and review. Share it on your social media. That is the best way we can find new listeners for the show. And if you are having fun listening, don't you think your friends will have fun too?
Well said. Well said. 5 stars only, everybody.
Five stars only. Yeah, we'll kick you out with less.
There it is. All right. Thanks, everybody.